This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
Ben Obomanu has 2 degrees. He played football and earned his bachelor's degree at Auburn. His law degree is from Alabama. After his playing career at Auburn and 8 years in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks, he followed through on a promise to his family in Selma, Alabama, to get a real job, hence the law degree. Ben and his wife, Marquinta, are raising 2 girls in Seattle, where he works in transactional law, handling lender services documentation for real estate projects. Ben doesn't rule out a future in politics. He was part of a 2004 undefeated Auburn squad and went 4-0 in his career against Alabama. Ben Obomanu is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Welcome in to the Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Very glad today to talk with Ben Obomanu, former Auburn wide receiver, now a lawyer in Seattle after his NFL career. Ben, glad to have you with us today on the Talking Tigers podcast. And if you would, what have these last 4 months been like for you, your law career, and for your family there in Seattle?
It's been a big adjustment, I think, like everybody. We have, you know, 2 small kids. My wife and I have 2 small kids, Savannah and Lauren. Savannah has a birthday coming up next week, so she'll be 4. Our 1-year-old, she celebrated her first birthday back in March, you know, when this quarantine or stay-at-home stuff kind of first started. So for us, it's been a little bit challenging just being home and trying to still work from home as a husband and wife, but also, you know, raise kids and also be their friends, their classmates, their teacher. So our household, you know, we say long days and long nights as well. But I think in general, it's been fun, but some quality time that we've had a chance to be with each other, still learning a lot of my legal practice, but also being able to be present with my kids as well.
Ben, if you would, why Seattle? I know we know you played football in Seattle. So was it just you found that area? That's where you met your wife. You liked that area, and that's where you decided to start that law career.
I think it all starts with the wife. You know, this is her hometown. My wife is a proud Seattleite, born and raised here. So we met during the latter part of my NFL career. And so same thing, wanted to come back home for her and wanted to have that support when we got ready to have kids. And we've, you know, been able to have our kids born in Seattle and have support for her, you know, throughout 2 pregnancies. And then at the same time, playing in Seattle, all I knew was Alabama. Being from Selma, going to Auburn, I stayed in state on purpose to be able to have that support system for me. And then getting drafted to Seattle back in 2006 was a, you know, eye-opening, a shock to be able to move across country. But at the same time, you'll hear a lot of players say that the city of Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, the people, even the Seahawks organization still do a really good job of making former players feel welcome and a part of that organization. And then more importantly, when I was playing here for years, you know, you've always heard, you know, you never know when your career is going to end or the NFL stands for not for long. I started planting those seeds today to figure out what my next career would be to utilize, you know, the time and the space, the off season here in Seattle. So I started planting those seeds early on, which, you know, later on, as you see today, was enough to be able to keep me grounded in this area. So that's where it comes from, a combination of, you know, wife wanting to be at home, but also playing Seattle, being here for 7 years on the Seahawks. Also allowed me to plant some roots to start creating this second career as a lawyer.
One of the things I've always heard about the football fans in Seattle, specifically the Seahawks fans, is how loud that stadium gets. As someone that has played there, can you verify the rumors of just how loud and how vociferous those fans are in Seattle?
The fans in Seattle, the 12s as we call them, they're spot on every game, every week. You know, even if it's not a football team, it's a Sounders, you know, the MLS team here. They do a really good job, and they really enjoy and support their team. As a guy coming from the SEC playing in big stadiums, you know, the noise and the loudness was always, you know, something I've always appreciated and knew how to finesse as a player. But then coming to Seattle and seeing the difference of NFL fans, and I think that's the big difference. You go to a lot of other NFL stadiums, you won't, you know, see that kind of intensity, that kind of passion. A lot of people come to the games to watch, not necessarily root for a team. They come just for the entertainment sake. And I think what you get in Seattle is the passion. There's some of the same passion that, you know, we have in Auburn, want to support our team. That's the difference here in Seattle. So this is a real thing, more so because unlike any other NFL team, the Seahawks and the 12s are just as passionate as any other fan base in the country.
Ben, what have you done with your law degree? What kind of law that you're practicing there in Seattle?
You know, when you first go to law school, it's kind of an open book. Choose your path. Your first couple of years, you learn the basics of law. Once you get into your second and your third year of law school, you kind of pick a path that you may think suits you best. And for me, I've always wanted to go to the transactional side of things. You know, the courtroom, civil criminal law, being in the court, or, you know, doing this litigation in general, arguing in front of a judge. People thought and seemed to say as an athlete, that competitive side, that, you know, your field becomes the courtroom now. Having played, I didn't want as much stress and that high stakes pressure. Having played in college and played in the NFL for so long, that I decided to go to the transactional world. And so here in Seattle, I was looking for a good firm that can allow me to be able to learn as much as I can about contracts, to open some doors to a plethora of other careers and career paths down the road. So I do real estate work. So as a real estate attorney, specifically, we work a lot with lenders on the home builder side of big constructions, commercial developments, you know, residential homes, the big apartment complexes or a subdivision that's getting built. So we work a lot. My job is specifically working with the lender side of things. Some of the big banks that finance some of these loans, to work out the due diligence of these entities and corporations, to figure out how the puzzle pieces come together in terms of the process from vetting, you know, a company, an LLC trying to build, all until, you know, that loan is matures. So it's really a good, unique real estate practice where, for me, I wanted to be able to see the fruits of my labor too. I mean, a lot of times, a lot of lawyers, you know, they work and they put in a lot of hours and the year ends and there's, you know, there's wins and there's losses. In my situation, there's always wins. So it's a good mix up for me, a good change for me, instead of, you know, worrying about your record, going back to the football analogy. You know, at the end of the year, you look at your record and kind of figure out, you know, where you were. Well, in this particular practice, there's always wins. We're probably always batting 100%. So it's a good kind of a phase for me to be able to still have the legal career, learn about transactions, learn about contracts, but also have that peace of mind when I come home as well.
How often do you get back to Selma? How often do you get back here to the Auburn campus, Ben?
Quite often. Our only vacations are to Alabama. Anytime we get a break for, you know, spring break or Christmas or Thanksgiving, we're always back home. And the good part, like you know, when I talk to the young kids about the decision, the recruiting process, you know, in high school, trying to determine what college you go to, a lot of times kids don't look at the long-term effect of the schools you go to. I've had the opportunity being able to be from Alabama. Anytime I come home, I can also jump in a car and drive an hour and 45 minutes and stop and see an Auburn basketball game, a baseball game, you know, obviously football season now come in. Or there have been times where I get a chance to come home and just take my kids to campus and just walk around, let them take some pictures and see what's going on. So we've been able to come to Auburn and come to Alabama pretty much every other month. It sounds extreme, but it's a really good opportunity for me to get home, my family, be able to see the young kids grow up, but also just still be a part of the Auburn family too.
Let's talk about your recruiting. You've mentioned that you wanted to stay close to home to come out and to play football. What were your options? I mean, you were a highly prized wide receiver coming out of high school. So what were your options?
You always have the in-state rivalry with, you know, Alabama on the other side recruiting, LSU, Florida. And then, you know, I was a smart kid too. So I've also looked at some of the Stanfords and Notre Dame, took some visits out there. But I think in my recruiting process back in 2002, things kind of cleared up and, you know, God revealed a straight path to Auburn. Going back to Florida in 2002, Steve Spurrier was a coach, and doing my recruiting process, he left and went to the Redskins. So that kind of made that decision a little easier. Alabama got put on probation in that 2002 off-season recruiting cycle. There were some issues at LSU. Nick Saban was the coach at that point in time at LSU, and there were rumors about him leaving, taking an NFL job. He eventually did. But so it kind of was a, hey, the sky's opening up. You know, God's revealing a sign where I can go. I can be close to home. And one thing that truly made a difference even today, that still holds true today, when I went on my recruiting visits, a lot of fans and a lot of students, you know, they like their school. But when I went to Auburn, it was everybody loved Auburn. And I think that made it for me just as clear as day, where it wasn't a conditional thing. It wasn't whether the football team was doing well or doing bad. Auburn fans just truly love Auburn. So it made that decision clear, and I have no regrets about the school that I chose.
You mentioned your academic work at Selma High School. You were the salutatorian at Selma. So when was that law career? When did that first enter your mind, if you would, Ben?
Yeah, growing up in Selma, my family, you know, Selma known for is civil rights history with the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the role that it played in pushing for laws and pushing for change, my family had always instilled in me that, you know, even if you wanted to be a professional athlete or entertainer, as my grandfather would say, but what else? Give me a real career. Give me something else that you want to do. And so for me, growing up in Selma and seeing and learning the history of Selma and the civil rights movement, seeing how, you know, our lawyers, our judges were some of the ones pushing for like legislative changes. I decided at, 8 years old, when they came around to school and parents would ask, what do you want to do? I want to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, with a family full of educators, it had always been, all right, you can play sports, you can play football and basketball and baseball, but always remember you're a student athlete, with the student part being first, obviously. And so it was always, you know, you're a small city kid. There are not a lot of NFL players coming out of Selma. So, no, make sure that you get your education and have something to fall back on. And that same kind of thought process on pushing me to do well academically in high school, do well academically in college, because you never know, you may not get a chance to play in the NFL. Injuries can happen. And even springboarding onto the NFL, all right, you've made it. And I think that's where a lot of times people stop, is you get to the NFL, you get placed out of that category of being a student athlete. You've made it. You got a career. But my family, my friends, still pushed me and said, well, what if your NFL career lasts 1 year, 2 years? I was fortunate enough to play for 8 years, but at the same time, they still held me to my dream, my goal of being a lawyer. So when my career came to an end, it was, all right, now's the time. I know you played a long time. You had a good career, but, you know, we've always pushed you to be a student athlete. And that student athlete mantra is kind of what pushed me and springboarded me to go to law school too.
Some may not realize that an 8-year NFL career is unusually long. I mean, yeah, there are some like Tom Brady that's been doing it for 20 years, but to play 8 years in the NFL, I mean, that's well above the average, let alone just to get there, but then to play for 8 years.
For me, it goes back to this whole student athlete. I when I got to the NFL, I started realizing, especially the 7th round pick, you said the anomaly of being able to be an NFL player, play on one team as a 7th round pick for 7 years, 3 different coaches, a couple of different coordinators. I've seen a lot of 1st round guys, Pro Bowl guys come and go. But for some reason, you know, the Seahawks kept me on the team. Most of it came because the student athlete portion of it, I was a student of the game at that point. You know, when you're in the college setting, of course, you're still going to classes. But for me, the NFL becomes your job. So I did a great job of making sure I understood the game within the game, understanding, you know, the why behind our playbook, the why behind our, you know, strategy going in. Figuring out, you know, simple things, the cornerback. The reason why they're playing a certain coverage is because they're trying to, you know, cover for a deficiency on the other side. Or they're trying to funnel us into a certain play, a certain package. Or even from internally, from our offensive scheme, why we're running the plays that we're running, why decisions are made for the organization in terms of who they keep on the roster and who they let go. I became a student of the game at that point. And I think that is what kept me on the roster for so many years, because not only was I an asset on the field, but I also was an asset to the locker room and to the organization in general by helping guys, you know, learn the game, but also just life skills as well. So Auburn taught me a lot. Selma High taught me a lot. And I was able to springboard that into a pretty lengthy career.
Talk about your family in Selma. You mentioned you come from a family of educators. The influence that they had, and you've referenced it already, your grandfather saying you've got to have a real career. But just talk about that influence of that family in Selma and what you carry today now that you're the father of 2 little girls.
It's about, so for me, my grandparents, you know, starts with them being a little kid, always admiring them, especially my grandfather. They had 6 kids, 3 girls, 3 boys. So they had a split evenly down the road, and my mom kind of followed suit. Both of my grandparents were educators. My grandfather taught at a small college, Selma University. My grandmother taught early childhood education and ran a daycare center for many years. Out of those 6 kids they had, 5 of them became teachers in some sort. Teachers, counselors, principals. My mom was one of those. She became a counselor, and now she sits on the Selma City School Board. So same thing, that same tutelage that she passed down to my sister. Now my sister ended up going into education. So she's now a professor or a teacher at Wallace Community College. So she teaches on a college level. So the same thing kind of funneled down to me on the importance of academics, the importance of, you know, the family dynamic of having a support system to help you through those ups and downs of life, help you through those transitions in college. So my family has always been there to push me and say, all right, you're not only a leader for all the students and all the kids from Selma who aspire to be a you know, college football player. That was the first kind of iteration of making sure that I was an example for students who want to go to college and play college football. And then when I got to the NFL, it was all right, well, but Ben, you know, you're one of the first NFL players from Selma, but there are many more kids who won't get a chance to make it to the NFL. So you still can be a shining light, beacon example by getting your college degree, by, you know, that whole mantra of getting education to have something to fall back on. My folks really pushed that and said, well, it'll be unique for you if you can go to the NFL, play in the NFL, but also be a lawyer and have, you know, a two-way system for kids. So they can look at you and say, well, if I want to be an NFL player, I can look at Ben and say, hey, that's how to do it. But also if I want to be anything else in my professional career, a lawyer, a doctor, an educator, a teacher, I also can look to Ben, the same person, and say, well, you know, I didn't quite make it to the NFL, but can you give me some guidance and some toolage on how to, you know, start my professional career in another aspect? So it all started, like I said, passed down from my grandparents being educators. And so in a sense, though I didn't go in the educational field, I still kind of have that little itch to be a leader and kind of, you know, be a guiding light for kids after me as well.
Ben, we had Ronnie Brown on the Talking Tigers podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, coming out of high school, I mean, he knew that football in all likelihood was going to be his ticket, so to speak, to college. But he loved baseball even more than football. Was football your love coming out of Selma High School?
Football was my love. My mom first allowed me to play football at 8 years old, and it was a way to get me to toughen up. Not saying that I thought I was tough, but it was a way to get me to go out and you know, get some licks and some bruises a little bit, go out and learn how to, you know, struggle. I was a small, skinny kind of kid, and I'll admit, a little bit afraid. Football was my first love. I've also, you know, in Selma, we were a basketball school more so, and I always liked basketball. Basketball is one of those sports, you know, you can, as a nice little kid, you can go outside and just shoot hoops in your backyard. You can get one other guy and play one-on-one. So I've always was a basketball guy, but when I got to middle school, you know, my height stayed the same, and some other guys, like, I'm tall, but I'm not as tall. NBA type players. And so I think that's when football became just as real, when I started seeing my athletic ability kind of develop, the skill set, some of the things that I still learned from. I played baseball, I ran track. I think all those things, I put it into the bucket of helping me become a better football player. My agility, my eye, hand-eye coordination from baseball, my speed from track. So I kind of put all those things together and say, you know what, when I got to right about, you know, freshman year of high school, I made the decision that I think I can actually be a college football player. So my first love has always been football.
Wickles Pickles is proud to be the new sponsor of the Talking Tigers podcast. From Saturday sandwiches to Thanksgiving dinner, that secret 90-year-old recipe has people from all over calling to get some of those sweet and spicy jars. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Made fresh in Dadeville, Alabama. When you think back to your Auburn career, what's the first thing that comes to your mind from a competition standpoint?
First thing comes to my mind is undefeated against Alabama. Going to Auburn, you always see, you know, we take an Alabama rep every day in the offseason. We do an extra rep just for Alabama. Old, you know, division of the state of, you know, as I've always heard, people who come in and especially in Seattle, like, yeah, when I moved to Alabama, they say, you got to choose. Which one is it? Auburn or Alabama? And so for me, it's the pride that I've taken knowing that for 4 years, you know, my competition of being able to go against Alabama and have some pretty good games as well. You know, I scored a couple touchdowns in some Iron Bowls. My last Iron Bowl in 2005 was my senior year. I ended up scoring a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Those things, for me, make it just as prideful to come back to the state, you know, to go to University of Alabama for law school. Made it just as easy and just as sweet because, for me, being a part of all those good teams and thinking about each and every Iron Bowl, how we won, the way we won, and also to be able to contribute to that victory by scoring some touchdowns, that's what comes to mind most important for me is that run, not just my year, but, you know, a couple of the years where we had that sweet run of going undefeated and beating Alabama for a record number of years.
You will never convince me that 2004 team shouldn't have played for a national championship. I feel it was maybe the best team out there. We never got a chance to see what that team would have done in a national championship season. How did you guys deal with that? I asked Ronnie this same question. I want to ask you, how did you guys deal with going undefeated, being the SEC champs, and still not get a chance to play for that national championship crown?
Yeah, we were frustrated. I think you can hear from different perspectives, like you said, with Ronnie and fans in general as well. Being a good team and being some dominant team, especially you think about now, the SEC's, you know, reign of going to all those national championships in a row. You know, LSU winning the national championship this past season. The conference itself speaks, the competition, the level of play that we have speaks for itself. So back in, 2004, when we didn't get that chance to play, we were, frustrated and hurt, especially when you consider that particular year. You know, we understand the business dynamics of what happened. USC and Oklahoma had played a BCS game the year before, and it was kind of a rematch, so to speak, of, those two teams going back at it, this time for a national championship. And we just felt like we got a short end of the stick. I had a unique perspective as well. Even later on in my career, I got the chance to play for Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was the coach of USC during that time. And so he even talked about, that season where they, they played Oklahoma in the championship game. I think they won by, big, over touchdowns, won big, so it wasn't much of a competition. And I've even heard him say, like, yeah, I wonder how, how the game would have unfolded if we had played Auburn. And I think that's what some of us deal with a little bit in looking at that asterisk for us in that season, saying, we went undefeated, and having to explain that, we went undefeated, but we didn't get a chance to play for the championship. More importantly, I think the sports world understands and recognizes, even after the fact, that Auburn versus USC matchup would have been a great sight to see for us to really take our stake in being called national champions.
After your career at Auburn and your career in the NFL, then that idea of law school has never faded for you. I'm sure you get this question. You have options to go to law school. And not that the University of Alabama Law School isn't a good one. I know many Auburn people that have gone, like you, that have been at Auburn for their undergrad and got their law degree at Alabama. But why? Why the University of Alabama for a law degree?
Well, they always say receivers are, prima donnas. We like the attention. We like touchdowns and, doing end zone celebrations. So I admit I'm a modest guy, but some of that still is part of the, baked in the cake with me being a receiver. So when I finished my career in Seattle and I was going back through the process of looking at law schools and applying, both Ivy League schools, that same thing, going back to being recruited at the Stanfords and Notre Dame, want to go to some big law schools, big name law schools, deciding whether I want to stay in Seattle and go to some of the local universities here for law school. And then I had a couple of friends who said, you should apply to Alabama too. I was like, why? I was like, well, you never know. You can come back home. You've been away for, at that point, 8 years. Having played in the NFL in Seattle, you're married now. Your mom, if you had kids or anything like that, your family wanted to see your kids and be close to home, just come home. Think about it. So I applied, and I think the worst or best case, depending on what angle you're looking at, I got accepted to Alabama. So it became a viable option as one of the schools. And even some of the people during the recruiting process of law school were some of the same academic people who recruited me back in high school. So some of the same academic advisors had moved over to the law school. So there was a familiarity, some good conversations. And then most importantly, I think even talking with my agent, they said, well, it'll be a good story if an Auburn guy goes to Alabama for law school, go back, your whole aspirations too of going back to state Alabama, moving back later on to do some things politically or, even opening your own business and all that. It would be great to be able to go back and be home for a while to see family, but also have both fan bases in your pocket. I know I'll never get all Alabama fans to be fans of being of Manu, but at the same time, I went to law school there, so you guys owe me too. So if I ever open up a business, start, run for political office, hopefully it'll be a benefit that they'll pay dividends down the road. But it all came just because the need to come home, but also the need of, thinking long-term of wanting to contribute to my state.
What were football Fridays like when you were in law school at Alabama?
Every Friday, especially home games, I left Tuscaloosa. It was automatic. My wife and I knew that, pack up the car, gas up the car, we're getting out of town. Alabama fans are different. They let you know that they're Alabama fans, especially if you see some Auburn stuff. Even if you don't ask for it, they got to come back in and kind of, pull and prod at you a little bit more than what I would like. And so for me, these small towns in Tuscaloosa, the restaurants, the gas station, the malls, you can't get away from the rambunctious fans. So for me, I had an Auburn tag on my car. I wore Auburn stuff every Friday. Even on campus, it was, people knew it was Orange and Blue Friday for me to rub it in and say, you know what, not to get anything misconstrued, I'm an Auburn guy, I'm an Auburn fan, living in Tuscaloosa. So go to class on Fridays. By the time we got to Friday afternoon, my wife and I found somewhere to go, whether it was Birmingham, Selma, or hopefully it was an Auburn home game where I got a chance to come to all the Auburn home games. But that was my way of coping. My coping mechanism was to make sure I stayed true to the Orange and Blue and then when need be, you know, get out of Dodge when things got a little heavy.
How did Mark Quinta learn about the Auburn-Alabama rivalry?
That was a tough one. We were newlyweds. My wife and I got married on June 27th. On July 3rd, we moved to Tuscaloosa, Alabama for law school. For her, and it was kind of a, you know, we had already set that date for our wedding. So we came to Tuscaloosa and we're, you know, setting up, had an apartment, and she decided that she was taking online classes for her master's degree. So she would go to the store and try to decorate the apartment and things. I came home one day and she's like, yeah, honey, I got this great idea, checkerboard. So she had, and she came and she showed me, opened the bags of stuff from the store and all this checkerboard pattern. I was like, no, get it out of here. Got to go now. You know, calm down. It's not bad. It's like, no, it's not checkerboard. That's houndstooth. It's like houndstooth. I'm like, yeah, long story. Take it back before, you know, you open anything so you can get our money back. I'll explain the whole thing to you later. And I think that was our first real bit of, you know, knowing the history of both the rivalry, but also knowing, you know, what Tuscaloosa, what the University of Alabama, learning some of their customs, not so she can be a fan, but more so she can not upset her husband. So she learned very quickly, you know, the difference between Auburn and Alabama, more so than I could tell her.
If you don't mind me asking, how did you and Mark Quinta meet?
We met when I first came to Seattle back in 2006. I was coming from Alabama and being first-time guy in the Pacific Northwest. That was a little bit of a shift in terms of understanding the terrain and the city and the country. Lucky enough, my second year, there's a quick little neat little aside that there were four of us from the same recruiting class on the Auburn Tigers. There was, you know, in 2002, Courtney Taylor, Will Herring, Kevin Hobbs, and myself were all in the Auburn Tigers, all got recruited by Tuberville in 2002, and we ended up on the same team in 2007. As the NFL goes, those guys didn't stay on the team long enough for me to be able to you know, call Seattle home. So my wife and I ended up meeting her through some mutual friends. She's born and raised in Seattle. I would always say, yeah, you know, at some point I plan on leaving, going back home. She's like, you don't like it in Seattle? I was like, no. And she went through this whole list of, have you been to Mount Rainier? No. Have you been to, you know, snowshoeing? No. Have you been to Seward Park, some of the landmarks here in Seattle? No. Have you been to the Space Needle? Like, yeah, I rode past it a couple of times. So, and having been here for 4 years, my wife at that time, just a friend, started introducing me to her circle of friends where they started doing these trips on the weekend where they would go snowshoeing and go canoeing and go to the mountain, go to Space Needle. So at that point, it became, for her, a referendum on how great her city was. Well, if I'm going to go and tag along to these events, you're the only person that I know. So I guess, you know, you're my tour guide. You're my, you know, the one and only friend I know in this group of people. And so at that point, eventually it became, are you two dating? Because you guys are always hanging out together. And I was like, no, it's not that I'm dating. She's the only person I know. And so that kind of snowballed into her. You know, I guess it worked. She still has me here in Seattle. So her city, now my city as well. So that's how this whole thing started with my wife, making sure that I didn't leave Seattle for the sake of not having the, you know, Seattle experience.
You think back to that Auburn time, and you think back to the guys, especially that wide receiving core that you played with, Courtney Taylor, Devin Aromashadu, Anthony Mix, yourself. We heard so much this past year, and rightfully so, about how good the Alabama wide receivers are or the LSU wide receivers are. That early 2000s group of wide receivers at Auburn, you had speed, you had great possession guys that could be physical. That's a pretty special group of receivers that you were part of.
We're still friends to this day, and we wanted to come back in. When we got recruited, we wanted to come back in and bring some relief to the program. You know, when we got recruited, that's when we had Cadillac, who had a, you know, great freshman year, had done some great things. Ronnie was still emerging himself as a running back that he was. And then even when we got recruited, we still had the likes of Trey Smith, who got in our recruiting class, and Brandon Jacobs, you know, the four horsemen, as they called themselves during that time, right? And we wanted to be able to be a group that took pressure off of the running game. I think Tuberville, we should always talk about, you know, opening up, being able to have those play-action passes because our running game was so dominant. To be able to give Jason Campbell and Brandon Cox some relief to have some weapons on the outside. At the end of the day, when it came down to a third down situation or a need-to-pass situation, you got guys on the outside that you can trust, that you know can be there, and we can kind of change the culture and dynamic of the receiving group. We do look at it, too, even talking to, you know, current day with Gus Malzahn and his offense. He always talks about it, studying Auburn offenses over the years. He's like, man, you know, if I had a chance to play and had youth guys during that time with the running back situation, the quarterback situation, hey, we could do some special things, especially in this new age of passing that all conferences are now doing. And so I think for us, we felt like we were one of the best receiving corps in Auburn history. You know, the stats may not necessarily say it, but at the same time, if we had that opportunity to play in one of these pass-happy offenses now, the way the football has kind of changed, we feel like, man, we would have had an even better career than what we've had.
Ben, you come from an area that is so rich in history, especially in the civil rights movement. You now live in a city that has been talked about quite a bit with regard to civil rights and everything. And you've mentioned a couple times politics. Is politics possibly in your future?
Yeah, it is. I think it really is. My wife always talks about how she's nervous of being a politician's wife because she can see the writings on the wall a little bit. Yeah. I think it's important for me, one, to be able to effectuate change. From a legal perspective, in law school, you do learn a lot about, you know, the process behind some of the laws and the reasons things are the way they are. Going back to our, you know, history of the founding fathers of the United States and our Constitution, you learn all those things in law school. But also you start getting intrigued and start seeing just in your everyday experiences how, you know, our system of governing works. And also just in this current state as well, when everybody's recognizing the need for so much change from the criminal justice system, from policing, from just equality, there is a push, I believe, even from my perspective of friends and family, saying, you know, if there's a need for, you know, people to go out and be peaceful protesters, there's a need for people to go out and be advocates in other ways, but also there's a need for, you know, our politicians, our legal scholars to be able to use their minds and their gift as well to be able to move the ball forward, going back to, you know, the 1960s when all the events happened in Selma and continue to happen in Selma. You know, I feel like I do have an obligation to kind of move that ball forward. Where I came from, it was instilled in me from childhood, the history of Selma. And so now having an opportunity to learn and know that, you know, I have a unique situation, having the sports side, having gone to both Auburn and Alabama in some respects, undergrad and law school, having, you know, practiced law for hopefully a couple of years under my belt as a lawyer. There may be some opportunities there where I can look for a place to land on the politics side to be able to help effectuate some change. So it's something that I'm keeping an eye on and trying to figure out. But I think, you know, like you said, being from Selma, being in Seattle, the culture and the time that we're in now, there's a good chance that some things may happen with me, you know, pretty soon, just, you know, keeping my ears open and keeping those options open as well.
When you think of Auburn, not just Auburn football or athletics, but when you think of Auburn, when Ben Obamanu thinks of Auburn, what comes to your mind?
Family. It's an extension of family. I think you've heard me talk about it before, about my family in Selma, you know, me being a father now with two young girls and wanted to be at home because of family. That word family keeps coming up. The legal practice that I'm in as an attorney in a real estate kind of practice, the flexibility to know I can come home and still be present with my kids as a family. That's the same thing I think Auburn has instilled in me. My wife, my kids love coming back to Auburn football games, love coming back on campus because they see the environment of, you know, we still, you know, is a place, as the song goes, where everybody knows your name. Of course, I was a football player, so they know my name. But it's also, there are so many familiar faces that I see. The Ronnie Browns, Andy, when you have your production show pregame, I get the chance to wave from a distance and say hello. So many former players come back to games and former classmates. So it's not just the athletes side of things. It's also just students that I interacted with in my classes that I get a chance to see and walk around during tailgates, after games, baseball games, football games, or even just coming back and doing some volunteer work on campus. And I think that is what I think of most when I think of Auburn is family. And Auburn has become an extension of my family where now my kids, my girls are already talking about, my three-year-old already talks about one day when she goes to Auburn. So she now too is part of the Auburn family and looks forward to, you know, day when she hopefully gets a chance to join the alumni ranks as well.
I hope we get another generation of Obamanus here at Auburn. That would be terrific. Ben, thank you. Auburn folks are proud of what you've done with your career, not only as a football player, but what you're doing now as a family man, as a lawyer, as someone that wants to see change and represents the AU that you're wearing there on your chest, represents it very well. Thank you very much for being a part of the Talking Tigers podcast. Wish you all the best. And War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thanks, Andy.
On the next Talking Tigers podcast, Patton Kizzire is playing in a very unique time on the PGA Tour. The former Auburn golfer has two career wins, most recently in the OHL Classic at Mayakoba Sony Open in 2018. Golfing in the PGA Tour bubble with Patton Kizzire is next. For Ben Obamanu and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be safe and be well. War Eagle.